Thank you very much, Capitan. Now the floor goes to Felice Sancon.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, colleagues. the protection, I think, I mean, I'm going to focus on two things. One, on the protection issues, the reflecting on the national engagements with South Africa, but as well as just reflect on some of the complexities related with the LGBT rights issues. Protection of LGBT rights issues has been a long journey, complex, delicate, sensitive, even though it's part of the international human rights discourse. And I think probably today we need to ask ourselves the question, why is that still the struggle to date? What kind of internal stereotypes are we still sitting with? Other countries criminalize LGBT people, others protect. However, we need to also reflect on some of the growing shifts that we see in thinking and both in action. And probably we can point out one issue which two of our colleagues have pointed to in relation to the signing of the joint statement in the March session, which is about 85 countries which supported it. So it meant that institutionally there's a willingness and commitment to deal with the issue, but we also need to get into the bottom of the issue. Now, at the same time, when there was a joint statement that was presented, South Africa had presented its own draft resolution, which was later deferred for various reasons, which I think colleagues in the room would probably be more familiar with it. Now, coming to the reflecting on the national context issue, now, a South African constitution guarantees protection of sexual orientation and as well as a gender identity. And we see this as part of the civil society organization. The presentation of the resolution extended beyond from the South African context, but ensuring that the debate around the rights of LGBT issues are actually part of this space, which is the Human Rights Council. And one of the key things we probably need to do is to really commend the courage that South Africa has demonstrated, the bold leadership to place this resolution, but we need to encourage constructive engagement, but as well as come with a constructive input. This resolution is also presented in a multilateral space with competing interests, driven by selective interest, and with also political and contesting views. It also forces the Human Rights Council, its members, to demonstrate commitment to universal human rights principles and ensure that it sets up institutional mechanism to promote an open dialogue. But as well, I think underlying it is that it forces the people within the Human Rights Council to specifically, of course, also confront their own personal stereotypes through bilateral conversation and this matter being in the public domain. I do want to take 1 minute to talk about when this resolution when this resolution was presented in March and which was later deferred, is that South African civil society organization interacted with the South African government and presenting a different proposal. I think amongst the key issues we're presenting was around the issues of modalities. It was there around the issues of the new concepts. I mean, I'm not going to get into details. But however, I need to state that the interaction led into building a collective understanding of the need for the protection of LGBT rights globally and also using the Human Rights Council as a space to do that. And one of the long-term spin-off is that there's a commitment to strengthen the relationships and to talk about social justice issues beyond the issues of LGBT rights. We do think that this resolution presents, as I indicated earlier, presents an opportunity for the global community to gain a collective understanding and in-depth understanding of sexual orientation and gender identity issues to ensure that it does not isolate sexual orientation.